Let's go back in time to 1932 as Converse brings you historic footage of the legendary original Celtics with whom all great professional teams are compared.
We have now taken over your radio.
Richie Guerin is about to show you the most important step in getting past a man. It's the first one.
And Oscar will inbound it. The men in green, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's Al Cinder against Bellamy.
Has Jordan. Allen shakes free. Gets two!
Gilmore on a big step!
Oh,
brother! Lead Toledo artist. You get 21.
4:28 to go in the first quarter for the Cal Palace. Here's Barry.
Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead!
Hello, and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast. I am Jason Mann, and with me as always is Rich Krejci. And yep. Returning back to the program to talk about Pau Gasol is Adam Johnson of Basketball Pantheon. Adam, welcome back to the show.
Yep, what's up, guys? Good to be back.
Our secret has finally been revealed.
Yeah, a long time. It was a long time coming.
It was a long time coming.
The secret has been revealed.
It has been. So, as mentioned, we're talking about Pau Gasol. He is 42nd all time in win shares, 55th in win shares per 48, 42nd in box score plus minus, 30th in value of replacement player. He has won two championships, probably the second best player on those teams. Two-time All-NBA second team, two-time All-NBA third team, has three seasons top 10 in win shares per 48, three times value of replacement player. I have to say that his advanced stats are a little bit better than I actually expected them to be. So, Adam, what do you think about Pau Gasol's top 50 case?
Yeah, I, like you, thought the same thing. When I first kind of decided to do Pau, I was like, you know, not really much of a shot. But the more you look at some of the stuff, it's a pretty strong case, especially the stats. I guess maybe because those early years in Memphis, it was a little under the radar or whatever it was. But then the Lakers years, and he was like very clearly the number two on those Lakers teams. But yeah, he has a really good case. I still would say it's probably not top 50. But the other guy that I did was Tony Parker, and I would definitely say it's a better case than Tony Parker has. So, yeah, and that's interesting that, you know, both Europeans, but yeah, it's a strong case, and the Memphis years are stronger than you remember, I think.
Yeah, I guess real quick, you know, I've been doing this is going over the advanced stats for, you know, era and position or whatever. Let's do that with Gasol, because I think that was the first thing that I absolutely popped out at me is when I, you know, I stepped down to do this, and I always, you know, I'll do these advanced stats and I look at these guys and go, okay, yeah, but his resume almost completely changed by looking at that, which is insane. Look at era and position. So this is, of course, his era, you know, forward center. Ish. I did it for both, and Basketball Reference has, you know, forward slash center, so a little bit easier to do that. So we know second in win shares per 48 among his era at his position, second in value over replacement players, sixth in field goal percentage, fifth in assists per 36, 11th in rebound per 36, and sixth in points per 36, which is that's a solid resume right there. How he rates all time among his position, 24th in points per 36, 101st in rebound per 36. So he loses a little bit in the rebounding when you look at him all time, but 15th all time in assists per 36, 21st in field goal percentage, second in value over replacement player, and 10th in win shares per 48. I mean, that's a great, I mean, you look at some of the stuff, especially like the value over replacement player, as well as, you know, points, assists, and rebounds, all those things all together. I mean, that's a really, really good resume. 10th in win shares per 48 shouldn't be understated either. I mean, that's a really solid, you know, all-time great resume that we're looking at there. And I did not expect that, really, with Pau Gasol.
Yeah, you know, the negatives for him are, you know, not really a great rebounder for his size, not a great defender, especially later in his career. And, you know, he was never voted to any NBA first teams, and it only has four all NBA teams in 15 years. So that's more the resume of a very good player as opposed to a, you know, top 50 or, you know, elite player. So it's all over the place a little bit. But one thing to think about, and Richard, you and I have never really talked about this, Do we consider international experience? Because I think for Powell, maybe more than in almost anyone, that does kind of make a difference.
Yeah, I don't know. It does get kind of interesting. Adam, what should we do? Because I don't want to answer it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough. Yeah, it's. I mean, of course, for like the Hall of Fame, you of course have to add that for the Basketball Hall of Fame. For our the purposes of ours, I don't know. Because, I mean, we count all the, you know, we'll count like ABA and all that sort of stuff. But, of course, that's a whole different animal than international. I don't know.
Right. So, you guys are counting ABA, which I think is interesting because I don't know if you ever read the – on our site when we talk about kind of how we rank the players and the criteria and stuff, we actually did not include ABA stats because of – I thought that was a little bit unfair to, like, you know, someone who came over late from Europe, such as, like, a Ginobili or even, like, a Powell, to, like, not include those stats because that's still a super competitive league, you know?
Exactly.
So it's, like, what do you do? And, like, the international stuff with Powell, you more think about the Spain, like, the national team stuff. But I think if you consider it with Powell, then like you should consider it with like Carmelo Anthony because he's great for the, you know, for Team USA. So it's a tough dilemma. I would not, if I was you guys, include that stuff. I mean, maybe in like the influence kind of category that can help, but actually like making, you know, his ranking higher because of it, maybe not. But I mean, that's, you know, it's your call, obviously.
No, it's yours. We don't want to make the call. It's too hard. So you do it.
There's an article on Complex that was kind of, this was looking at like Hall of Famers or guys, whether they should make the Hall of Fame. He's apparently in a club of 14 players who have averaged at least 18, 9, and 3 assists per game through the first 13 years of their careers. This was a couple years ago. This was written. And only two of the players, Chris Webber and Brad Doherty, have yet to make the Hall of Fame in those levels. So that, I mean, those are, that's a strong, you know, group of numbers. I don't know. I guess the other thing to consider is, you know, where, like, you know, if you put him in, who are we kind of considering him ahead of and who are we kind of considering him behind? Like, do we consider him ahead of Willis Reed? Do we consider him ahead of Unseld? Do we consider him ahead of Kevin McHale? Like, where does he kind of like fit in among those, you know, those power forward center types who, you know, for the most part, I guess, Willis Reed was a star, but his longevity was kind of lacking. The other guys were, you know, stars and strong players, but, you know, fall below the absolute top tier players.
Yeah, yeah. In our kind of ranking and stuff like that, we don't have him. We kind of did it how we did it. I mean, it's 150 players, so it was a, you know, huge project. But we kind of did it in tiers. You know, we had like our – we have a definitive – I mean, much like you guys have done with this, like there's a definitive like kind of top 20, 25, and then we kind of went from there. And we don't have him in that same class as like a Kevin McHale or Willis Reed type. We have him kind of in the next tier of that, you know, position in particular. But yeah, but the top 50 shot, he's got a chance. I still think, like I said, he probably falls out of the top 50. Mm-hmm. But yeah, much closer than I thought he was going to.
Yeah, that's where I'm at kind of after this is, and I'm sure we'll kind of maybe explore him a little bit. Yeah, I would put him just on the outside looking in, but more of a question that if we have an extra spot or something, which I highly doubt we do, then maybe you can talk about that and talk about him. But I went into this, and especially, you know, a few days ago getting ready for this project, assuming no way Paul Gasol. No, I mean, no chance. But yeah, I mean, you really have to look at, and that's what I encourage people to do, is really look at a lot of his stuff. And I think a big part of it is, like we've mentioned on here, those Memphis years are really just kind of lost years to the ether, where we sort of assume, you know, he was just kind of doing, you know, good stuff on a bad team, which is possible, but they're all time great stuff when you add in his entire career. And especially with that Lakers run, which only solidified his resume in a lot of ways of getting the titles and, you know, getting playoff runs and stuff. And he had great playoff runs too. That's another thing that we probably should mention as well. And I know we haven't done a whole lot. I mean, he had one year where he was, you know, you could argue right on equal footing with Kobe as far as, you know, being important to that Lakers winning a title. So he's definitely there. Yeah, I would say probably out of the top 50 for me, but, you know, he's worth the conversation, at least worth mentioning or having an entire podcast, you know, talking a little bit about him, which is what we're doing here. So yeah, I think surprising. I'll definitely say it was surprising.
Yeah. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah. You know, I was gonna say the 2010 season, the second title of the back-to-back of his was really strong. And
yeah.
And he had the game winner in game 6 against Oklahoma City, the tip in, a tip in off of a Kobe miss in the 2010 playoffs. That's, you know, that hurts a couple franchises, but yeah, he had that huge play. And then in the finals, arguably was the finals MVP, you know, kind of rebounding from the soft label that everyone gave him from 2008 against the Celtics, when like really the other side of that was just KG was a monster rather than Powell was soft. But anyway, the 2010 finals, I mean, he was huge, huge, and had a bunch of huge plays late in games in those, in that final. So yeah, I completely agree. That run is very impressive.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You know, I wonder, like, what we think of Powell's defense, if we explored that more deeply in, you know, kind of the, as he emerges as a star in Memphis, and especially, you know, with the Lakers, you know, for the championship years before he kind of gets older and less interested in that, you know, where we kind of would rate him, you know, kind of at his peak, because I don't know if I would rate him, you know, if I would rate him as middling or if I would rate him as, you know, as pretty good. I mean, as I recall, those Lakers defensive teams were pretty good. Of course, they had Bynum there, who was a strong defender at the time. So that might be something to kind of look at a little more deeply, to kind of get a sense of a better sense of how good of a defensive player he was, you know, during those years, or if he was always just kind of passable at that end.
Yeah, I think those, the two championship teams, the defense was a little underrated, and I thought their rim protection with him and Bynum together was pretty impressive, and that team was pretty difficult to score against. But in terms of when he was like the guy on the Memphis teams, yeah, that would be an interesting kind of thing to go back and look at. And I thought the full season this year, obviously he was an issue, especially in pick and rolls. It was kind of a joke, but how good he was statistically this year, I know it's like, you know, relatively hollow stats, but in my mind, they still do add to his legacy. I mean, it got him another, you know, All-NBA team. It got him another All-Star appearance. So, I mean, yeah, even this past season with Chicago, you know, while people do like to kind of, you know, mock it a little bit, it still was a good season.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there were, you know, they kind of just show a little bit of limitations of the numbers. But yes, I mean, it's certainly better than putting up bad numbers.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So yeah, I think you make a good point. Anything else?
Yeah, I guess the only other thing I wanted to kind of touch on was, and this I guess doesn't count in the ranking, but just how impressive of a guy he is off the court. There's just kind of countless, you know, accounts of things he's done for charities and for UNICEF, and he just generally seems like the nicest guy of all time. And so that stuff means something, you know, beyond the basketball for sure. And so that's something that definitely should at least be mentioned in something like this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Adam. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And you can check us out at hardwoodparoxysm.com. We're part of the HP Basketball Network. And we're also on iTunes. If you want to give us a rating and review, we really appreciate it. It helps spread the word about the show. You can also find us at overandbacknba.com. It's our new forums where you can go and share your thoughts and what you think about Paul. We have a thread there about Powell and all of the other great NBA players that we're considering for this list, as well as shows for our threads and for our episodes and for a lot of different subjects. So come there and check it out. And until next time, thanks for listening.